devious and amoral and unreliable and irresponsible and definitely not to be trusted.
And I was hoping for something more along the lines of, welcome back, it's a pleasure to see you again, my old friend.
If the auto timer is programmed the way I think it is, in about 2 minutes, we should be on our way back to what's called New Jersey.
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 18. I am Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
On this week's episode, we'll talk to North American Continental Champion John Corbett. We'll also have another Favorite the Bold spoiler and an update to last week's spoiler. All right. Well, we're lucky to have the winner of the North American Continental Championship, John Corbett, here. To start off, what research do you do before you go into a large tournament, looking at other players or, you know, the meta?
Well, first of all, guys, thanks for getting the name right. It's John Corbett, not Corvette, Corbett, Corbett.
Corbet.
Yeah, you guys were struggling with that early on. Get a little jab in there on me. But as I prepare, there's not really much, really, when you get to a big field. Not that Continentals this year was a big field. But, I mean, this year it was basically our region, three guys, and then Virginia and a couple guys from Ohio. The guys from Ohio, I know it was Sykes and Blake the Snake Mandalus. I know them pretty well. And the Virginia guys are, let's just say they're up-and-comers. I've been down there a couple times, and I've won a couple TOCs. So I knew the field basically was going to be Sykes and the guys I play with on a regular basis.
You have enough experience with them that you have a general idea of, you know, how they play and what to prepare for?
Yeah, the guy Neil and Ben, they're from the D.C. region, and they came in our league this year. They started playing in the season, but they're good. They bring the goods every week. They like complex decks, no speed. It's all very counter deck.
What do you think is your favorite, or have you found as most effective?
Big tournaments, I just bring the speed decks, fast. You know, for a couple of years it was holograms. And before it was Cardassian. But I usually play something fast. This year it was the TOS battle deck and the Bajoran stuff, which is pretty fast. Speed solves all problems in TUI. That's my philosophy.
You mentioned the TOS battle deck. I think Dan tried that a couple of weeks ago. And I think a lot of people think speed and interaction are mutually exclusive. How do you overcome that obstacle?
Well, the TOS battle deck came, it was born out of a fun format we did. It's basically, it was a battle bluff deck. You just keep your battle cards in your hand, just play pretty much looks like crappy TOS, you know, a couple ships, you know, free ships, and a lot of one-cost guys. And then when they go out, they hit a damage card, and they are, surprise, surprise, and they're blown up.
Well, without giving up too much information, what do you expect to see at Worlds this year? More speed?
Not at Worlds. You get everything at Worlds because you got basically, you know, I would say about you got five metas coming together. Got a little European flavor, the Minnesota guys, our area, a little bit down south, Virginia, and whoever makes it out from the West Coast. So basically, you got five philosophies coming in together, and even and then not every meta plays the same. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of speed. Pure speed is something you rarely see these days. I mean, who knows what the Europeans are going to have in store this year? Probably some good old nonsense.
We just had our newest sneak peek at Favor the Bold, the second virtual set that the continuing committee is going to put out. How did you feel about the addition of the Undiscovered Country to the game? Has that helped you any? Have you found any gems in the rough, or are you more of a hard copy card fan?
Sadly to say, I have to give Brad his props on the V cards. They're pretty sweet. Yeah, it's turning my guts out right now to give Brad anything. But the sad fact of the matter is, the cards are good. They look good. They play good, and they don't break anything. They're really, really good cards. Surprise Amidity has called on a lot in our area with with the DC guys because, you know, they love blowing stuff up and Tragic Turn and Surprise Amenity gets some good play around here. I've used them sparingly. I don't think I've used them a lot, but they creeped out, especially the Dilemmas. The Dilemmas, they're Kurt Reprimand and Show Trial. That's it. Those two Dilemmas right there, and that's your money's worth in a set right there. And by the fact I paid $0 for it, I definitely got my money's worth.
You've got a pretty strong league going in your area. Do you play test with another person particularly, or do you usually throw your deck out into your local tournaments to see how it goes?
Well, we run every 2 weeks, even the summer right now. Today we got our Tournament of Champions, which is and our awards. We gave all the prizes out. And we used a new Warp Speed format, first turn, 21 counters, and 45-minute rounds with hard stops. And it was a very good format. It worked good. Most games took between 35 and 40 minutes. And sadly to say, I didn't win. My Borg got beat up by the Klingons in the finals against Daryl, another good player from our region. But to answer to your question, every 2 weeks is a good – that's four games every 2 weeks. But if I get a chance, I'll test with a guy. And got a couple guys in my play one night. Get the rough copies through your deck, you know, give it a trial before you take it to a tournament. But when you play every 2 weeks, that's a good opportunity to get through decks and test them out.
Must you always be so ethical?
You mentioned getting to play every 2 weeks and having special tournament formats and such. Is this all born out of your infamous Team Jersey group?
Oh, yeah, when you run a league every 2 weeks, you got to keep it fresh. I mean, from September, we're running eight events every 2 weeks, which basically is just a regular standard format. And then we take a break, have a fun tournament, do another eight events of standard format, maybe throw in like a tag team where it's just two people who won't play each other. And then we got a couple months, and that's when you throw in the fun events. You know, the next week, in 2 weeks, we're doing another Royal Rumble multiplayer battle tournament. And, you know, then we have a couple new fresh ideas. And, you know, when you play, you know, the league is to get your stuff ready for the big events. And now it's time. This is our off season. So we just have some fun, you know, go to the cons, play the big events. And so far, it's working real well. We're 8 to 10 strong in the league. And things are looking good.
Do you offer an incentive in your league for playing different decks every week? Or do you find that players usually try to just hone what they've got?
Another thing I have to it's going to churn me up is I got the HQ bonus idea from you guys out on the West Coast. Yeah, something similar to it. It's not exactly what we do here, but the idea, as they say, there's no such thing as an original idea. And I'm privy to your guys' email list out there. I think Starbase 619 or something like that. I get the emails and I spy on you guys a little bit. And that gave me the idea for the HQ every week. We have our WCT points. Then every week, if you play a different HQ, you get, you know, additional points. And that gives the I don't want to say the t-shirt guys, but, you know, the casual player a chance to keep up with, you know, the top-notch players. And it avoids people riding a deck because no one likes that. No one wants to see a guy play, you know, TNG Kirk 8 weeks in a row and just dominate the field. So it gives a chance, you know, it gives a player a reward for trying new stuff. And and also rewards a player who's overall better with every affiliation besides, you know, I call it the local legend syndrome, where a guy will get one hot deck and then, you know, ride it out for weeks.
Absolutely. And then everybody else starts teching their deck against that.
Yeah,
only.
Exactly. And then you got teching for tech, and then you get into that paper, scissors, rock nonsense. And, you know, you can play other games for that.
Exactly. And there's no fun in that. You mentioned there being you had a battle scenario, and was it a warp speed, sort of 2E warp speed? Do you have any other interesting scenario events that you've been running out there?
Well, we've done the no rares, basically starters, commons, and uncommons. We've done the team battle royal, which is 3-on-3 or 4-on-4, and, you know, we had Dominion versus the Alpha Quadrant. Got another one working in the works where it's going to be three Borg players versus the three Alpha Quadrants. We also have another a couple crazy ones we haven't worked out yet. We're going to have one where everyone has the exact same missions in a different HQ. The missions will be selected at random, and then you're going to get an HQ, which makes things interesting. It'll make you find very interesting ways to get people in play. You'll see a lot more the treaty card, the Picard flute one. I forget what it's called. It's slipping my mind right now. Inner Light. Yeah, the inner light. It'll make you find all sorts of crazy ways to get guys in play if you need to do a mission.
Sure. Now, as you mentioned, we're all always fans of spreading ideas, giving our listeners new and interesting ways to play the game. Is there a website or some such location where some of our listeners might be able to find more info on the types of games that you're running?
Yeah, it's crucial to the game that pretty much everyone be open. You guys have your mailing list or the email list, and I'm not sure if you guys have a site, but we have ours, teamjersey.net, and welcome to spy on us, see what we're up to, all our crazy formats and our league and stuff like that. It's all about as you've seen, you see someone else's idea, if I see something good that works somewhere, I'm going to use it. Like I saw, like your HQ bonus you guys were doing, I went with it. If someone sees what we're doing, they want to try it out, they can go for it. You know, the information sharing is a big part of making the game better.
I got one more question for you, based on the community. Have you had an opportunity to gain any new players over the last 2 or 3 years? I know I'm the guy who runs the events down here, and we've had pretty much the same core group of players, in and out every other week, but no one new is coming out. Have you had any success recruiting?
Yeah, new blood is tough to come by, even when for any game, unless you run into something with a big license. But yeah, Trek's not an oddball thing or anything. But we have one or two new players. We moved our store to a bookstore, a little bit more, diversified traffic than just a game store. You got people coming in for all sorts of things. And just keep it out there in the open. People walk by, and we made up some of the starter decks, and they're right there in the store. People can pick them up and try it out. It's tough to do, but you just have to keep the game open, make it invite people to watch, and billboards. Like, we keep our league standings up on the board, contact information. And now with the Project Transwarp decks, that should be I think that's a huge a thing to get people into the game. If you give someone a free starter and a rule book and it's just sitting there, that's what, go out to the stores and someone might pick it up and give it a shot. You never know.
Absolutely. Well, John, as I mentioned last week, anybody who can go into a regional taking on, going up against a couple of Fed speed decks, some Krug Klingon Riker nonsense, and so forth, using only Bajorans, I got to give you props for that. So, thank you very much for joining us. And best of luck with Worlds.
Thanks, guys. In the future, just try to get the name right, and hopefully I'll see you at Gen Con.
We'll be there.
We did make a passively last month.
It's time for us to produce our field report for you on Favor the Bold. We have a new card to spoil. This is a dilemma.
Looks like a dual dilemma, cost of 4, entitled The Seen and the Unseen.
We believe this card's title has already been spoiled in another place. It is backwards compatible, and it looks like it's card number 16 in virtual set number 16.
This is a stopper for all those non-aligned decks out there. It reads, unless at least half your personnel are not, and it has the non-aligned icon, stop all your personnel, lose 5 points, your opponents score 5 points, and this dilemma returns to the owner's dilemma pile. That's a lot of consequences.
This would be good against Bran and the Thieves. This would be good against Dr.
Androids.
Sung and the Androids. Be good against Dr. Sung and the...
Augments.
The Augments, yeah.
Not to mention, if you're running even close, if somebody has a choice filter or two, they could still hit you with this. This is going to be something to watch out for, I think, at least in our scene. A lot of people have been playing, in no matter what deck they are playing, Julian Bashir, Rebel Captain, Ezri Teigen, Soldier of Fortune, Persis Loyal Daughter, several non-aligned personnel that have been making it into every deck, and if you hit an unfortunate random selection, you could be losing some points.
The picture is, well, it's pretty creepy. It's McDuff being phased by some of the other bridge crew guys. He's half kind of disintegrated. And the lore says, the Elysians have identified Commander McDuff as a Sitaran, an alien race that's been at war with Elysian for decades. I'm glad they can't make that a foil.
Yeah, that's kind of disturbing as an image.
All right, and as one other bit of info, we have a subtitle for Tabor that we spoiled in a previous week.
Tabor Apoplectic Bajoran. I think I like his token better.
Yeah, he's backwards compatible, and he's number 31. Hey, that's right.
That's right. You knew we would spoil the right one. In addition, we now have the lore for his final card, which reads, as a quote from the episode, "I can still remember the sounds his instruments made. He operated on my grandfather. Exposed his internal organs to Nadion radiation. It took 6 days for him to die." All right, well, that's the limit of our intelligence for this week. On behalf of our producer, Matt, I would like to thank Warp 11 for, again, the generous use of their Section 31 theme song.
Just a reminder to all of you coming out to Comic-Con, Jeremy Commander will be running a 1E event on Friday. Come out and throw down.
For further information on that format, click in the information show notes for this episode. I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I'm going to remind all of you to expand your power in the universe.
And I'll just attempt with 9 twice.
Lame.